We begin today in James chapter 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17. We're asking the question, what is God like? And we're looking at a few passages and a few points on that subject. Now today, we come to a very important attribute of God. And that is the fact that God does not change. He is the unchangeable and the unchanging God. Now we find that people change. We find that our world changes. We find that people change their minds, sometimes for the better, many times for the worse. We find that laws change. We find that mankind's ideas about right and wrong change. But God never changes. Folks, this gives us stability to our lives. It gives us something to look at that is fixed and that is absolute. So let's look today at this characteristic of God that is sometimes called the immutability of God. And that is a big word, but it's actually found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But I want to look at James chapter 1 today, verse 17, to begin with, because here's where the Bible gives us this teaching. And in James 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Now, the word variableness there means changing. So God doesn't change. There is no variation in God. God is not one way this day and some other way the next day. He's not moody like people. He doesn't change like people do. People can make a commitment one day, and 2 weeks later, they renege. They go back on their word. God never does. Now, this is so rare today to find in a human being. It is rare today to find somebody who means what he says, that you can depend on, who will do what he has said, and that will not change, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of who he's around. But God never changes. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is shadow cast by turning, a reference here to the heavenly bodies. So James 1 verse 17 says that God is the unchanging God. Now, in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, the book just before this, very close to it in Hebrews 13 verse 8, you have this statement, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is always the same. Why? Because Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Now let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 6 and let's look at this word that we find in verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now he's talking about the promise that God made to Abraham here. And God saw that promise through. God did not go back on his word. God did exactly what he promised to Abraham. And the Bible refers to that promise as being an immutable promise. That means unchanging and unchangeable. Now, what I'd like to do today is to just apply this in several directions. In the first place, unless God is unchanging, unless God is unchangeable, there is no basis for right and wrong. There's no absolute right and wrong, period. Because you see, if God always changes his mind, then there couldn't be any real fixed standard of right and wrong. And as long as we look to the laws of men, as long as we leave morality, standards of right and wrong on a human level, then there will never be anything that is really fixed and that is really absolute, because people change. Nations change. Cultures change. And so in one age, people believe that something is wrong, and in the next generation, they think it's all right. Now, what does that prove? Does that show that morality is relative, that there really is no objective right and wrong, that it's just up in the air. It depends on the circumstance, or it depends on the nation. It depends on the times, or it depends on the individual. No. What that shows is that that is the way that man often looks at right and wrong. But what we find, folks, is that God is unchanging. And so God's law of right and wrong does not change. For instance, murder has always been wrong, and it always will be, regardless of what the laws of man say. In other words, if man were to come up with a law that said that murder is fine, and I don't know of any culture that has done that. I know that some nations have, of course, abused their own laws. They've been inconsistent. But as far as just making a blanket statement is concerned, nations really don't do that, do they? They may not practice what they preach, but the laws on the books basically say that murder is wrong. And what I'm saying is that the only way that we can say that murder is always wrong is because God says that it's wrong. Murder has always been wrong in God's sight, and murder will always be wrong in God's sight. Lying has always been wrong in God's sight, and lying will always be wrong in God's sight. The Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Notice that Hebrews 6 and Titus 1 both say the same thing. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie because lying is against God's nature. And it's also impossible for God to lie because God cannot change. His being does not change. Titus 1 verse 2 says it is impossible for God to lie. So murder has always been wrong and will always be wrong. Lying has always been wrong and always will be wrong. Homosexuality is against nature that God created. It has always been sinful and always will be sinful. Idolatry has always been wrong and always will be wrong. Why? Because God doesn't change. On the other hand, love has always been right, and it always will be right. Helping the needy and the sick has always been a good thing to do, and it always will be a good thing to do. For a man to work and provide for his family has always been a good thing to do, and it always will be a good thing to do. Faith in God has always been right, and faith in God will always be right. So you see, there's no way, folks, that a society can have a fixed set of rules about right and wrong unless they base those laws on God's law of right and wrong. Now, this is the problem that we find in our society today. This is why our culture is in an upheaval. It's because everybody wants to have his own law about right and wrong. Everybody wants to have the freedom to decide what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is bad. And people want to have the right to change any moral law that they choose. Now, the sad fact, folks, is that this kind of rebellion comes back to haunt people. Because when a madman pulls a gun and shoots innocent people, those very people will say, well, that man didn't have the personal right to make that decision. Folks, you cannot have absolute right and wrong without the law of God. It cannot be done. And we cannot have absolute, fixed moral principles unless God is unchanging. It can't happen. So you see, what happens then is that when we look to God for guidance in this life, when we realize that God is the author of morality, then we have a fixed point of reference. We have stability. But as long as people are trying to make the rules and change the rules every time they want to, there's always going to be chaos, there's always going to be fear, there will always be immorality, and there will always be danger in society. Folks, the bottom line is this. Either there are absolute rules about right and wrong, or there are no rules at all that are absolute. God himself gives us those absolute laws of right and wrong because God never changes. Now, here's something else about the fact that God is unchanging that we really, really need to consider today and remember. And that is the fact that when God says that something is going to happen, it will happen because God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. I'm looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, what Peter writes about is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said that there were people in his day that made fun of that idea. You see, there have always been people who have mocked and made fun of the Word of God. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about these scoffers, these mockers, who make fun of the promise of the second coming. Well, he says that they ignore what God has done in the past, but listen to what he says in verse 9. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." What he's saying there is this. There are a lot of men, there are a lot of people, who will make promises that they don't keep. They will tell you that they will do something and they won't do it. So he says that men are slack about their promises. But God is not like that. Remember, the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. So the Bible refers to the second coming as a promise of God Almighty. And if God promised that Jesus will come again, and it is impossible for God to lie, you can mark it down, folks. Jesus is coming again. He's coming in judgment. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering." When you look at the world still standing, and you say it's been a long time since God made that promise when the Bible was originally written, and you begin to question whether God is actually going to do it because it's been so long, well, just remember that verse 8 says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In God's sight, time is nothing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." That's not why so much time has gone by and Jesus still hasn't come. It's not because God is slack about his promise, but it's because God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason why the earth still stands, the reason why God has not sent Jesus back, the reason why the judgment has not come, is because God is giving man an opportunity to repent, because he wants men to repent. But the bottom line is this, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And how do we know that? Because God is the unchanging God. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.